Bits of grass on the side of the road, you know. Our entitled today is 2004, A Year for More.
Amen.
I know it rhymes, I like rhyme. But a year for more. More of whatever you need.
Amen.
More. More of God's presence. More of God's joy. We need the fullness of joy. It says in the word, in the presence of God our avengers are stilled.
Yeah.
Our avenger, our enemy is stilled or stopped in the presence of God. We need more faith, more power, more patience, don't we, Daniel? Talking to me as well, we need more patience, don't we?
Amen.
And we need all this to finish the fight. And it's not, we're told, it's not a fight that we fight with weapons and with fists and feet and things. It's a weapon, the weapons that are given to us by God again.
Yeah.
The earthly weapon, the heavenly weapons. Not mortal weapons. And they're weapons that we can rely on.
Yeah.
More of the presence of God. Looked up the word more. Well, I looked up in there's three Greek words. And one of the meanings of the word more is very, very much. So, much is good. Very much. And very, 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 very much is very, very good.
Yeah.
But God just doesn't want us to have a little bit. Another meaning of it is exceedingly abundant.
Amen.
Exceedingly abundant. It means more than we can handle, more than we need, more than we want. Or it means, I can read my writing. More sufficient. Something like that, I can't read what I've written there. But it's more. It's over and above, it's sufficient. More than sufficient, sorry. Over and above what we need. And this is what God's been saying. And it's challenging. This time's challenging for me and for us as a family. And really for the fellowship. Because we're all moving out. People heard people coming in today talking about the comfort zone. I can't remember who it was now, but I just overheard somebody say, you know, it's now, we're in this comfort zone. You know, well, God wants us out of that comfort zone. And because it's doing nobody any good. He wants you to be challenged. Talking to Catherine yesterday, and she's getting the, well, she's overdue to move jobs because she's only ever stopped 3 years. And just they've worked out at work, do all these tests and things that are boredom threshold is very low, so they give her lots of projects to do. And she says, but I've been in 3.5 years now, I've got to move, you know, I'm getting bored now, I need a challenge. I mean, I need a challenge, but I think I bit off more than I could chew at the moment. It's good to have a challenge, but you've got to know who's helping you as well, who's behind it, who's working with you. Daniel's got a challenge at the moment, haven't you? It's challenging all his brain cells. But every morning he goes out, I say to him, when he's got an exam, well, just rely on, just ask the Holy Spirit to bring back everything that you've read. And he has read, he's read it. I don't understand this. I said, don't matter, just read it. He went to Helen's in the holidays and she said, what don't you know? Oh, I'm all right and everything. All right, she said. So she picked on one thing. Tell me about this then, Daniel. Complete silence. She said, okay, we'll start there. We'll work on that one. What was it? Simultaneous equation. Can't even say it. But you worked from there, didn't you? And then as you get going, you say, well, I don't really understand that properly. Well, I don't really understand that. So you start becoming more confident in the person who's helping you. And that's what we need to be in God, more confident that we can share our problems with him, the little ones and the big ones, that we can rely on that answer coming through. So I want us to have a look at Ephesians 3. Not Revelations 3:20, but Ephesians 3:20.
Amen.
So we're in the 3:20s today.
Yeah.
Ephesians 3 and verse 20. I'm on the wrong page, aren't we? It says in the King James, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in somebody else, that works in us, the power that works in us. Now to him, God, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, not just abundantly. We looked at more means abundant, exceedingly abundantly. I don't think we can grasp this exceedingly abundantly. Above all that we can ask or think. So whatever you can think, whatever you can think up in your head, and whatever you dare ask, God says, I can do about a million times more than that. That's just a little bit. According to the power that works in us. The power. It was Josie on about the Holy Spirit. Thanking the Holy Spirit for being there to help us, to work with us, to encourage us. Mm. The power that's in us. The power to work with us.
Yes.
The Amplifier goes on to say, now to him who by in consequence of the action of him, his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and to do superabundantly.
Yeah.
Far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayer, desires, thoughts, hopes or dreams. Superabundantly. God's daring us to step out.
Yeah.
And we talked about the last leaders meeting, you know, where are we going, and Anne's brought something up in how she's moving out into the community, and it's challenged.
Amen.
You know, where are we moving?
Yeah.
You know, are we in that comfort zone? We need to be challenged. We need to think big.
Yeah.
And we need to ask big. But we can't just do this without being encouraged, without being, because it's so easy to get your hopes dashed and then you're back down again. So we've all got to be starting to think bigger and ask bigger, that we can encourage each other, that we can move on. That when Louise has finished all her training, which is not long now, is it? Christmas time. That she doesn't just get any old job, but she gets the job that she desires.
Yeah.
The best one. That I don't just take any old job just for a job. I take the best one. I was challenged last week by some questions that God had passed through Catherine, and I couldn't honestly answer them. I wrote them all down and I started looking through them and thinking, I need to work on that one, I need to work on that one. And we think we can answer things until we write them down, and then start writing the answers in. And that's when you start seeing that you really need to stop and think and ask, and well, where do I want to go? Where do you want me to go, God? I know where I'd like to go, but where do you want me to go? So God wants us to show courage. He wants us to show boldness. He wants us fearless. Having an English lesson, Joe. Been to Germany, that one. looking for her eye. Because God, I've just said, I've written it down here, and God wants us to expand. He wants us to move out as a fellowship. He wants us to trust. As I was sat on the back of Andrew's bike the other day, I can't remember what day it was, yeah? Tuesday probably it was. And I thought, my goodness. And they were going to sit on this and drive all the way to some foreign country, I can't remember which one now. Romania. And I sat for an hour and got off, and my legs had, my knees had set. And my arms were aching because I was holding on behind. Thought, man, that's a challenge. Just to sit there for all those hours. With your legs around panniers, and a challenge. We need to move out. Because we're looking to help people. It's always been a dream of Harvest Fields to help people. Yeah. And not just help them spiritually, help them practically. And it still hasn't come to fruition. Little bits have happened. There are little tasters here and there and everywhere, but it's not coming together yet. But it's always been a desire of Harvest Fields. Yeah. And it will come to pass.
Amen.
We don't know how it's going to come to pass or when it will come to pass, but it will do.
Amen.
We need to get out of the box that we're in. Out of the comfort zone. God's challenging us to think and to dream. Just to think and dream is difficult at times. At the moment, I keep picking on Daniel, I know, but at the moment his thinking is all exam. They can't see much further past exams. It's so focused on that one small thing. But when they're finished in 2 or 3 days' time, then his horizon will expand. And the same with us. At times we have to be so focused on something that's so close. It's a hurdle we have to get over before we can look further on. Something we've got to get over. Because God says He'll do it.
Yeah.
We just read. He says He'll do it. Whatever you can think or do, He'll do it. We need to be thinking of the more than enough, not just enough. More than enough. And some churches then would now be shouting, saying, oh, well, you should just be having your own needs met. But no, we've talked about this over the years, that we should be looking to meet our own needs and other people's needs.
Yeah.
Stepping out financially, practically, whatever. That's back to the dream of Harvest Fields, helping the community. We didn't start off with everything. We started off small. We started off as a fellowship. Just looking for somewhere to meet. And in our own lives we started off small, believing for little things.
Mm.
And then we get a little bit bolder when they're fulfilled, asking for other things, believing for bigger things. So again, it's God wants us to think more than enough. Abundantly. What do we put? And very, very much. Exceeding abundantly. More than sufficient. So, here's a challenging question. Are you believing God for something at the moment? Each one of us, are you believing something? Because I believe that we should be believing God for something. We should be stepping out. You might not have any needs of your own. Everything's ticking along. Lovely. Bank book's nice. Pantry's full. Tank's full of petrol. Running well. Past its MOT. Everything's running really well. But we still should have that challenge to help someone else. Something else. The community. To help someone else meet that need. Ephesians 3:20 tells us that God has a limitless supply. God has a limitless supply. And it's working through us.
Amen.
So God's doing it, but he's not standing out there doing it. He's doing it from in here.
Amen.
He's working inside, out. So he says, yeah, I'm in there, you've just got to trust me. Just got to trust me and believe for that next step.
Yeah.
We've all got that next step. It was good to hear last week the something we've talked about again at their leaders' meeting, to let everybody know what the offerings were each month.
Yeah.
And quite a shock when you hear the outgoings each month as well. I mean, not all of it is into ministries. I mean, we've got the rent for this place, which is, but we're sowing seed again.
Mm-hmm.
We're blessing them. They're using it to paint, to redecorate. And it was good to hear maybe only a small sum of money in the building fund at this moment, but it's a step.
Mm-hmm.
It's a step. We haven't got to look at, oh, it's only a little bit, only a few hundred pounds. What could you buy for that? Matter, it's the first step.
Amen.
First one, that's right. So God says, I've got a limitless supply to meet your physical needs, your spiritual needs, your whatever need you've got. It doesn't specify, it just says ask. Above all that you ask or think. We think things that we daren't ask. So, our needs being met is not God's ultimate for us. It's not the ultimate, it's not the end. It's the beginning again, but we've got to look on. We've got to look on to have more than enough. We've got to imagine. And it's something that the generation I teach at school can't imagine, because they're in front of tellies or computers.
Mm.
And they struggle to imagine. You know, you're given some I don't know, bits of cardboard, some straw, string, sellotape, all things like that. We're going to build a such and such. They haven't got a clue. They've no imagination. Oh yeah, we could do this, could do that, don't we? They've not been brought up with the Meccano sets and the Lego, and where you have to imagine, and the imagination's gone. And God says, you need an imagination to think. You've got to have an imagination to think these wonderful things. And God uses the imagination. He talks that imagination.
Mm.
Said, this is the way I want you to go. Just imagine this, just think about this. So you've got to imagine yourself, Daniel, in a cricket, whatever cricket team you want to be in. You've got to imagine.
Yeah. Oh,
just because you have a bad match, it's not the end. It's just,
yeah,
you can learn from that, you go on to the next one. It's that imagination, it's that believing that you can do it. Got to imagine to meet others' needs.
Amen.
as well as your own. You know, we've got to imagine that a project probably will be coming up with, from what's happening, something small maybe in the beginning, but we've got to be able to say, I'll underwrite that, no problem, I'll meet that need, because the finance shouldn't get in the way of the need. It should be, we're going to do that, don't worry about the finance. I was listening to a tape the other week, and it was a Jerry Seville. I like Jerry, he's always encouraging Jerry Seville, and he was believing for a new engine for his jet, something like $500,000 or something, some small figure for one engine. And I think he'd waited about 12 months and he got it fitted up. And then so he said, somebody rang him up and said, I'd like to meet the rest of the bill. I says, oh, it's all paid. well, I really wanted to put some money in. He says, but I've got another need coming up. And this chap says, there's a cheque in the mail. So it's over and abundantly.
Yeah.
Over and abundantly. God didn't get it wrong. And this man didn't say, oh, well, I'm only meeting that need. Forget the rest of it. You know, it's God will supply. God is into the over and abundance. And it's not our problem where it comes from. I mean, Andrew's gone through this, and you with the business, wondering what was going to happen, where the money was coming from. He eventually just said, just sat back and said, okay, God, carry on. Because we can't figure this one out. And you do get to that stage.
Yeah.
And I think we've got to get to that stage a lot quicker, where we think, okay, God, you get on with it. I can't work this one out. Because I think we're holding back while ever we... Well, we do, because we're limiting God while ever we're saying, no, I'll sort this one out.
Yeah.
This is only a little one, God, I'll sort this out for you. And he says, but you're going to make a mess. You're going to make it bigger than it was, and then you'll not be able to meet that one.
Yeah.
And I said earlier that, you know, we need to be able to encourage each other, because if something fails and we... hit the deck, and we've got to be able to all be thinking, no, it's only a set, a small set, don't worry, lift up, pat off, let's get going. It's because whose report are we going to believe? You know, we're going to believe the report of the world, who said it'll never ever work, that can't ever do that, impossible. Or we're going to believe what God says. Believe what, and it says, I can whatever you ask for or think, according to the power that works in us. So he said, I'll meet it, I'll do it. So it's his report we need to believe. And I'm speaking to myself probably twice as much as I am to you today.
Mm-hmm.
Because I need to believe his report. It's funny, it says in James 1:7, it says, a double minded man is unstable. And this is a word that you miss. In all his ways. You just read over that. In all his ways. Everything. Double-minded man. In all his ways. Not just in the one that he can't get his head around. But all his ways. But then it goes on to say... Let's have a quick look. Let's have a look in James. Actually verse 8, it says, a double minded man is unstable in all his ways. But down in 12 it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised them that love him.
Amen.
Oh, back into love again. And that got mentioned earlier. Basking in his love. For blessed is the man, empowered to prosper is the man that endureth temptation. Don't be tempted to take second best. Don't be tempted to doubt. Abundance, no problem for God. But can we stretch our dreaming and believing and giving and receiving? Psalm 115. This is what God was saying to the I've pinched it out of mine. This is what God was saying in the Old Testament. What he was saying to the tribes of Israel in verse 14 and 15. The Lord shall increase you more and more.
Amen.
You and your children.
Yeah.
So it's not just a one-off thing, it's you and your children, and more and more. And it says, "You are blessed of the Lord,
yeah,
which have made heaven and earth." You are blessed of the Lord. I mean, more, we've just found out that more means very, very much. So you've got four verys and a much there. Because it says more and more. More than you can ever think. More than you can ever fit in this room. You just can't believe it, you know. It's just... And in this case, the... I've lost it. No, increase. It means bulk and quantity. In this case, bulk and quantity. And of course, blessed is empowered to prosper. So one fuels the other one. Deuteronomy 6. This is all Old Testament. Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy, what I can say. 6 and verse 3. He says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may go well with thee,
yeah,
and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord thy God for thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey." So it's observed to do it. So there's a, they're to do something, and in our case we've just got to ask and believe. "Hear, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may go well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily." Increase mightily. And if you go on to read the rest of Deuteronomy 6, it goes on to say that they did increase in cattle, in sheep, in gold. So they increased in the bulk, in the quantity of things. So we've got to listen. That's one of the things as well out of that. We've got to listen. Something else that we find difficult in these days, to stop and listen. So I find that in a class, you'll give out instructions, but they haven't really listened. You can write it on the board to back it up, and they don't read it. So they've not listened, and they rush off to do something, and then, "Oh, I've done it wrong. Can I have another one?" Well, no, actually, that was the only one I've got. It's the only one you've got, and you've ruined it. That's the end of it. So we've got to listen. Listen to instructions. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to prophecies that come in church. Weigh them. Listen. Check them against Scripture. Listen to God. In our prayer time, don't do all the talking. Listen. Because we get to a stage that we finish, okay, we're off now. We've got to listen. And it's a skill, it's difficult.
Mm.
It's finding time, it's finding a quiet place to listen. And it might not happen in 5 minutes, you might have to sit for a while. I remember reading something about Benny Hinn, and he tried it out. He'd seen it happen somewhere else, so he thought, "I'll try this. We'll all sit quietly in this auditorium, thousands of them." And 5 minutes went by, and 10 minutes went by, and an hour went by. And they were still all sat there quietly, and he's thinking, "Oh dear, I've got this one wrong." But he'd started to carry on. And God came through. But it didn't just happen, they had to listen. But people had to get tuned in, it didn't just happen straight away. They had to relax and calm down and tune in and listen and wait. And it happened. But we're in an instant society where we want it to happen now. It doesn't always happen that way. But it very rarely happens that way. Very rarely. In some of the magazines I've been reading as well, there's this talk about, it's been for a while now, about this wealth transfer. Transfer from the world to the believer. And we've got to believe for that. I mean, it actually tells us in scripture that the world's working on our behalf. And we've got to believe for that. And one of the little comments was, I think it was Oral Roberts got some, a man that owned a dog racing track, gave him $1 million, whatever it was. And so he said, I prayed for the dogs after that, to make sure this man kept making money. Because if they're working on our behalf, we've really got to help them. Mm-hmm. I know it was a funny, but this chap just rang him up and said, would you like £1 million, $1 million? And he even knew what it was for. He told him it was for his hospital or whatever it was. We were at a time. I'm an unbeliever, so we've got to believe for that transfer of wealth, so that we can do all that we want to do. Not just what we want to, not to go on a nice holiday in the Bahamas or whatever, but that we can do what God's wanting us to do. You can go on a holiday as well, can't you? But to do what God's wanting us to do. Psalm 105. And verse 24. 105 verse 24, and it says, and he increased his people greatly. Okay. So that's the people as well, increasing his people. And made them stronger than their enemies. Grace had just mentioned this earlier. She said that the Israelites went out into battle at times and they were so outnumbered it was ridiculous, and they won.
Yeah.
You know, the odds were just against them, but they won because they were listening. They'd listen. God said, no, go and do it this way. And sometimes they didn't even have to fight, they didn't have to go out playing their instruments. So we've got to take the limits off God. We've got to stop limiting him. We've got to say, well, I don't think he can do this. We've got to let him do. Let God be God. How big is your God? And I think we could all, everyone's God in this room would be different sizes, depending on how much we can take the limits off him. But we build on that little by little. Just taking the limits off him, that we can stand back and let God be God and let God do it.
Amen.
So I don't know where those thoughts have helped. It's just
what
I've been working through and thinking and listening. And but we've got to let God be God to be able to do the things that God wants us to do in our lives.